for upcoming, shall we? This Wednesday, Lord willing, we're going to begin the series in the Bible study that we've been announcing for a month now or something like that. It's going to happen in God's time. So, there it is, 6 to 7, Acts 11. We're still in Acts 11. Don't forget it. Okay. And then, next Sunday, it will be the conclusion of Fulfilling Faith. I hope you'll finally feel fulfilled. It's with Jude's Revelations. Alrighty. And next Sunday also, don't forget, this is our special annual Thanksgiving Food and Fellowship Fair. Sign-up sheet on the back. Kathy has already dibs the turkey, dressing, gravy, and what else? She brings a sweet potato. If someone else wants to make it instead, she's open to that, but just go ahead. What? No pumpkin pie, not in this church. No, sorry. Just teasing you, Mike. Just teasing. Pumpkin, huh? You're bringing pumpkin pie. Okay. We'll have pumpkin pie. There's a sign-up sheet back there, so just put down what you... mashed potatoes, so that's up for grabs. Will you? Okay. You what? There you go. That's right, Mike. Yeah, good for you. Okay. All righty. And what else? Don't we have something else? Church council meeting scheduled for a week from Thursday. And we'll see how that goes, too. All righty. Going with the Spirit. That's what we like here. On the front of your bulletin, genuine faith depicted again. And Brett said this is the best passage yet, he told me this morning, so you better pay close attention. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Is that a good word? Yes, and that's what we've been working on and open our hearts to even more of today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you again for your love. Thank you for the freedom, as always, to come into your house today, knowing that you're here already greeting us and welcoming us with your open arms. And we're thankful, Lord, to have the freedom to worship you and unite together in the praise and thanksgiving that you alone are worthy of. Pray that as we lift you up, you will lift each one of us up with you. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Grandma Nita is leaving proudly with Evie because I told her that Evie said thank you when I gave her a little something in the Dawn, and I thank Dawn for that. All right, well, here we are, next to last in the Fulfilling Faith series. Will we really be fulfilled by the time we get done, or is there still more to do after that? We've been going through all the passages throughout the Bible pretty much in this process, and I hope it's not anything that you're getting tired of. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus if you are. So take that. Yeah, Brooke. Don't raise your eyebrow at me. Peter, PJ, and John. Now normally it's Peter, James, and John, right? The inner three. That's the way they were kind of spoken of quite a bit. But we already did James connected with Hebrews, so James is out of here. I get to fill that spot, be the connection between Peter and John. And guess what? You can erase my name and put your name in the middle there too if you want. If you want to apply these things to your life. If not, then get out of here. Oh, I'm feeling in a feisty mood this morning, I guess. I'm not sure why. But anyway, Peter, PJ, and John, I'm just going to be a little bit of a connection there at applying those things, huh? I said you need a piece of pumpkin. Do I? I thought you were saying Peter, Mike, and John. No? Okay. Whatever. If you don't want it, it's not yours. So all together, here we're going to be, it's going to be the perfect message once again, 7 points, and I'm helping to complete that, being in the part of it, so there you go. Those of you who were able to be here Friday night for the movie, Pilgrim's Passion, and I'm sorry, thank you, I need all the help I can get to put your name there, thank you. What was it again? Pilgrim's Progress. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm making progress. There is a book, I think C.S. Lewis wrote, P- Pilgrim's Regress, which is an interesting read as well. And so I recommend that. And sometimes we progress, sometimes we regress. Do I digress now?
Yes, you do.
Okay, it's going to be hard to keep moving on. But anyway, we will conclude this series next week with Jude's Revelations. And this morning, though, we're going to get led off by Peter. And Peter leads us with Peter's praise power. Praise power. We sang about it this morning. And 1 Peter 1. What's it say, Alan?
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious hope, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Be back on here. So we connected a little bit with Hollis's message last week. He talked about the inheritance we have in the Lord and the privilege we have to pass that on to our children. Peter talks about this inheritance. He said it's through faith that you are shielded by God's power to be able to look forward to this inheritance, to claim it and to keep it. And he said that these things, the trials, the difficulties that we face in life, like we saw in Pilgrim's Progress, have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, the proven genuineness of your faith, and that's what we've been talking about, even though it is a greater worth than gold which is perishes, that's something that's perishable, we're going to see that which is not perishable as we're talking about it, may result in praise, glory, and honor, the praise power that the Lord gives to us as we fight through the fires of life and are genuine, proved genuine in the midst of it. He said, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, there is joy unspeakable and full of that thing there. For you are receiving the end result, the fulfillment of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So Peter's got it kind of all wrapped up there together. We're going to unpackage a little bit of that as well as what he goes on to say, that our faith is also purchased for us by something much more precious, and it is not perishable. He goes on to say this in verses 18 through 21.
For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God.
What movie was it where that character had the thing he called precious? What was that?
Lord of the Rings,
and what was it? Gollum, and he had this little, what was it, a little stone or... It was a ring. Okay. Precious. I remember that. We have something more precious than that. We have something more precious than silver or gold. Those are perishable. They perish. But that which is really, truly precious, which Peter says, the precious blood of Christ, that is what purchased, what our faith is based on. It is the most precious of things available to us. He said, through him, You believe in God and are raised from him of the dead, glorified, so that your faith and hope are in God. And he's going to go on to talk about something else that is precious related to this in 2 Peter 1, 1 to 2.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, hath received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Why is that faith so precious? Because it's only available because of the precious blood that Jesus shed for us. That's what makes it precious to us. And this faith is not perishable. If we will stand on the promises, and we talked about the praise part of the perishable, we're going to get to the promises that make that all possible in our lives and make it so precious. Thirdly, Peter then declares that this fulfilling faith includes prevailing power promises. Prevailing, not just promises, prevailing power promises. 1 Peter chapter 5.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Peter didn't refer to it specifically as a promise, but did you hear a promise in there? He's talking about standing firm in the faith, going through these sufferings, and then he says a promise. And this is what it was again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. This is the promise that God gives to us. We are going to go through difficulties. Our faith is going to be tested. We do need to stand firm in it. But he is the one. Again, I've said this before. He is the one. His power is the one that makes this possible. How do we put that into practice? How do we experience that? It's just a matter of surrender and acknowledging that I can't do it by myself. Willpower is not where it's at. His power is where it's at. And we have to submit to that. We have to, in humility, acknowledge that. And when we do, boom, it comes. Peter goes on then to add a so that and a therefore to these promises in 2 Peter 1.
His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We see how that we are cooperating with God in this process. Peter again talks about that his divine power has made all of this possible. These are very great and precious promises that he is offering to you so that through them you might participate in the divine nature. That really gets to the core of it. Because once we have acknowledged that it's his power that we need, and that we submit to that, then in that instant we are participating in His very nature. We are receiving His power, His nature, His character. It is His life living in us. We have died to ourselves. We have surrendered to it. That is what makes it possible in this. And so then he says, but on top of this faith, add to that faith these qualities. So we have to make a conscious choice that we're going to cooperate with God. We're going to continue to allow Him to work these things in our lives. It's not like we become robots once we die to ourselves and we just say, okay, God, I'm yours, and for the rest of our lives, it's just Him. We are cooperating. We're walking with God. We sang about that a little bit. We're going to conclude this morning with that walking idea. But there's this partnership. There's this unity. It's God and me together, just as Jesus said the same thing about His walk with God. Therefore, He said, make every effort to confirm these things in your life. Continue to consciously acknowledge that God is the one who's doing it. Continue to make choices based on that truth, standing on those promises. This is the way that it works. This is how God has made it possible for us to express our love back to Him and His love for us. I can go on and on, but I probably will end up digressing again. Finally, from Peter, he adds a so then and another therefore, so that with some prevailing power promises finality. Here we go, 2 Peter 3.
But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Yes, and so what Peter concludes with is that this is a growing process. All of this that we're talking about is encouraging us to continue to grow in grace. So then, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That knowledge is the experience of His grace and power and all of that at work in our lives. And it's a glorious experience. And we sing about higher ground, and the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. There's a whole lot of different ways in which we express this. But if we don't continually, consciously make those kinds of acknowledgments to Him and choices, then it is possible that we will regress from our progress. And we don't want to be like that. Peter's encouraging us in that. John comes along then and joins him, and his focus, to begin with, is on what we might call faithful fellowship. Fellowship, 1 John chapter 1.
This is the message we have heard from Him. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, then we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us.
Yes, and so the faith that we are expressing in the Lord and receiving His forgiveness and His cleansing is that upon which we base then the fellowship that we have with one another. If we haven't taken that step, or if we're not living in the truth of that, or if we're not continuing to grow in that faith, then the fellowship that we desire and God has placed in our hearts to have with Him and with each other can be shortchanged. It can be cut off. And so He's saying we need to confess our sins. We need to receive that forgiveness that the Lord has for us. And that when we make that claim, then the cleansing, the claiming does bring then the fellowship. Just as Jesus said, I am one with the Father and he is with me and I am with you. All of this is based on that faith. We've touched on this before, but this is a good reminder from John. And not only that, but we remember that God is living in us. He is the one that makes that faith fellowship with us possible. John goes on then to remind us that this faithful fellowship is only because possible because we have an atoning advocate, And this is 1 John 2.
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did.
Yes, and Jesus is the one who is the atoning sacrifice for us. And then he advocates on our behalf. We've talked about this before as well. So the profession of faith that we make is based on this advocacy, this atoning advocacy that Jesus has for us, and it will continue to be. There will be times when we fall back, and we need to confess our sins again and receive that cleansing and forgiveness and go forward even stronger than we were before, growing closer to him. If we obey his word, he says, our truth, his truth is made complete in us. It's made complete in this process. This is how we know we're in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Now that's a high standard. That's a high bar, isn't it? He lived without sin. How can John say we can live as Jesus did? It is possible. Jesus said, be like the Father. Be like me. Live like me. Again, it's not willpower. It's submitting ourselves to his power. And his spirit comes in and actually takes lordship in our lives and enables us to live without sin, to live like Jesus. Again, not only for our own benefit, but for the blessing of others that will bring in their lives as well. Thirdly, John says, doing the above is key to us remaining real receivers. Real receivers. 1 John 2:24 following.
As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at the coming.
Well done, Bulldog. You persevered through a difficult... Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister. Remaining real and receiving, all of those. That's why this is remaining real receivers. The genuine faith we're talking about is something we receive, again, just to remind ourselves, but we must remain in that by the choices we make, continuing to submit to the Lord and continuing to grow in him and becoming all that he has created us to be, like Jesus. And this echoes what John had quoted Jesus saying in his gospel about remaining. John 15.
Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
Jesus stressed remaining in him. He said, this is the key. As I remain in the Father, you must remain in me. We will remain together. We're all one happy family in this. We continue to be obedient to his commands. We bear the fruit that comes from him remaining in us and us in him. And it's just glorious. I'm not saying it's not without a battle and struggle and all of that, and the enemy is after us. But if our hearts are dedicated to that, and if we truly love the Lord and want everything he has for us, he makes it possible. He enables us to even make the choices when the choices are there to be made and to be faithful and fruitful in that. Finally, then, John says, if we do keep his commands and remain in him, then he will make us obedient overcomers. Obedient overcomers. First John 5.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah. This is love for God, carrying out his commandments, and they're not burdensome. So the key is, how much do we really love God? Are we really thankful, genuinely thankful for that precious blood that was shed for us that makes all of this possible? And if we are, our love in response to him is that which makes it easy to obey his commands. They're not burdensome. They can become a response of love. It's something we want to do. He places that in our hearts. And so it becomes a natural response. It doesn't become a fight with our human nature. That's what the enemy tries to play in our minds. But if that love is stirred within us, it is going to result in keeping his commands, remaining in him, growing in faith. All of these glorious things really comes down to, do we genuinely, truly love him for what he's done for us, for who he is, for what he offers to us. John then goes on to write about the great joy that this brings. 2 John 4:9.
It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers, who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son.
And so how do we continue? We just continue to love the Lord. We continue to walk in that love path that he himself walked and gives us the ability to walk in. It's just a response of love is what it comes down to. And if we have a struggle with choices, temptations, trials, difficulties, it's time to check the genuineness of my love for the Lord. Lord, I say I love you, but am I really living that out? Is it difficult for me to keep your commandments? Why? And then when we check our spirits like that, the Spirit himself comes in and enables us to be renewed in that love and to grow in it, to surrender anew and to experience even a deeper infilling of his Spirit, the love that he commands us to walk in. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son, the Spirit as well. They're all ours as we submit and surrender to that. He says that you will be rewarded fully, 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 not partially, fully. Finally, John offers a prayer that wraps it all together. 3 John 2 through 4.
Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Hollis had this as one of his key passages last week. I don't know if you remember that or not, the inheritance again, and what a joy it is to be able to see our children walking in the truth. I've shared before that one of the greatest joys we have is watching Janine and the faith that she has. And we were visiting with her just yesterday, and she was talking about how the Lord impressed her about praying for someone's dog and how the dog's tumors are now disappeared. Yeah. And, you know, just kind of overwhelming for me to try to express the joy of that. When I was in college at Warner Pacific College, of course, I'd been raised in a Christian home, mom and dad. I go on and on about them and how grateful I am for that. But I was inspired in, a retreat, a spiritual life retreat, and we made some crafty things, and I made something that depicted a young man walking on a pathway, and it had this scripture, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I wanted to communicate to mom and dad that that was me because of their example of faith and that they had instilled that kind of love for the Lord in me and that I was continuing to walk in it. I knew that that would give them great joy. And so what it comes down to us today then, we started out singing joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if we're not experiencing that, then the Spirit needs to communicate to us what's missing. And maybe there is an element of loving ourselves that keeps us from loving God fully. I will worship you with all of my heart, soul, mind. We sang that. All right. Do we mean it? When we go from the Lord's house and we go out back to the world and we face some of the choices we're going to face, do we still love the Lord fully? Do we want to worship Him in that moment with all of our soul's heart, mind, and strength? Do we really want to walk closer to Him than we have been? And that's what I ask myself. I do. Okay, my answer is yes. In this moment I do. Will I then? By God's grace, yes. And so I thought it would be appropriate for us this morning, since we've talked a little bit about continuing to walk, remaining in the Lord, walking closer to Him. There's an old hymn that was one of my favorites, still is. Just a closer walk with Thee, granted Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. That's a good way for us to respond to God's Word this morning. So we're going to do that. And if you desire to pray at the altar is open as always. Let's stand together. Just a closer walk with Thee.
Just
if that is our true, genuine prayer, you will let it be. You've promised that that would be the case. All you desire, all you ask is that we express that would be our prayer, to have a closer walk with Thee, day by day, moment by moment, ever growing in the faith that You have granted to us, made possible by the precious blood of Your Son, made possible by the power of Your Holy Spirit working in us as we surrender to You. Thank You, Father, that we can continue to grow in You and learn and understand more of You as we surrender more of ourselves to You. Thank You for Your Word, Your Spirit, which makes it alive to us today. Thank You that You can cleanse us anew and fill us anew with more of You. Help us, Lord, as we go from Your house today, just to continue in that upward journey, that pilgrim's progress that is an ongoing and increasing joy day by day. Thank You, Lord. Father, we're thankful for the way that You were protective of the Osbornes in a fire that they had yesterday, that You were there with them, and the timing was right for them to be able to avoid something much worse. So we give You the praise and the glory today that they're with us and that all is well.